लाभा गिरिभरधारी कुपिजन भालभा गिरिभरधारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा बनाचारी जमुना तीरा बनाचारी जैया राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जैया राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज आचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद्भक्ति डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज आचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद्भक्ति डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथ राशिमं भागवतं की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल डेवोटीज ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल डेवोटीज ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल डेवोटीज ओ ग्लोरिस टू शिशि गुरु एंड शि गौरंगा ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Shrimad Bhagavatam Canto 7 Chapter 15 entitled Instructions for Civilized Human Beings Text Number 25 Rajastamaschatsattvena Satvanchopashamena cha Etat sarvam gurav bhaktya Purusho hyam jasha jayet Rajastamascha sattvena Satvanchopashamena cha Etat sarvam gurav bhaktya Purusho hyam jasha jayet Rajastamascha sattvena Satvanchopashamena cha Etat sarvam gurav bhaktya Purusho hyam jasha jayet Please chant. Thank you. etat sarvam guru bhaktya puruso hyanjasa jajet. Rajastama cha sattvena sattvancho pasamena cha etat sarvam guru bhaktya purusho hyanjasa jajet. Rajastamas cha sattvena sattvancho pasamena cha etat sarvam guru bhaktya purusho hyanjasa jajet. Raja tamaha. The modes of passion and ignorance. Cha an sattvena. By developing the mode of goodness. Sattvam, the mode of goodness. Cha, also. Upasamena, by giving up attachment. Cha, an, etat, this. Sarvam, all. Gurau, unto the spiritual master. Bhaktya, by rendering service in devotion. Purushaha, a person, he, indeed, anjasa, easily, jayet, can conquer. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. One must conquer the modes of passion and ignorance by developing the mode of goodness. And then one must become detached from the mode of goodness by promoting oneself to the platform of Sudasattva. All this can be automatically done if one engages in the service of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. In this way, one can conquer the influence of the modes of nature. Purport. Just by treating the root cause of an ailment, one can conquer all bodily pains and sufferings. Similarly, if one is devoted and faithful to the spiritual master, he can conquer the influence of sattva-gun, Rajagun and Tamagun very easily. Yogis and Gyanis practice in many ways to conquer the senses. But the Bhakta immediately obtains the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the mercy of the spiritual master. Jasya Prasadam Bhagavo Prasadam Bhagavat Prasadam. If the spiritual master is favorably inclined, one naturally receives the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, one immediately becomes transcendental, conquering all the influence of sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamagun within this material world. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Sagunam samatityaitam brahma bhujaya kalpate. If one is a pure devotee acting under the directions of the Guru, one easily gets the mercy of the Supreme Lord and thus becomes immediately situated on the transcendental platform. This is explained in the next verse. Rajastama chasatvena Satvanchopashamena cha itan sarvam gurau bhaktya purusho hyanjasa jayet. One must conquer the modes of passion and ignorance by developing the modes of goodness, the mode of goodness. And then one must become detached from the mode of goodness by promoting oneself to the platform of Sudhasattva. All this can be automatically done if one engages in the service of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. In this way, one can conquer the influence of the modes of nature. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Satanine. Bancha kalpa tarubhya sha kripa sindhu vyeva cha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. It was not planned to give you an overdose of Subal. but this is such a beautiful verse. I'm grateful for the opportunity to think about it, you know, to speak. So far, we've seen so many things that are recommended to overcome all. We've been speaking these days about all these enemies of self-realization that are embedded within, you know, the conditioned soul: loss, greed, anger, illusion, etc., etc. And how, by following certain instructions, you can counteract them. And the whole purpose is to bring one to the mode of goodness. And in the mode of goodness, one, Prabhupada explains, one can understand the absolute truth. This is explained in the first canto, chapter 2, I think should be around text 20 something, that is explained that the Shirasuta Goswami explains that, you know, the mode of passion is better than the mode of ignorance, and better than the mode of ignorance is the mode of goodness, because in the mode of goodness one can understand the absolute truth. So that's the importance, you know, of all these things that we do, all these recommendations that are given, is to bring one to the mode of goodness, because in the mode of goodness one is capable to receive the absolute truth and to understand it. And naturally, in that position of the mode of goodness, that you start to practice devotional service in the mode of goodness, then you can also elevate yourself to the position of the transcendental position, transcendental to all the modes, including the mode of goodness. So the idea is to elevate one to the transcendental position, the fully spiritual position, which is called sattva-guna. And this is only able to be done by a service to the spiritual master. That's what Srila Narada Muni explained and what the scriptures tell us. In fact, we just performed Guru Puja, and the song that we sing, with the translation, is basically, it's almost like this is a proper for the translation of that song. The lotus feet of the spiritual master and the only way Babu Chekha attained to pure devotional service, Kevala Bhakti. I bow down to his lotus feet with great awe and reverence. By his grace, one can obtain the mercy of Krishna. One can only obtain the mercy of Krishna. So, the service of the spiritual master is the only way. It's explained, it's in the scriptures there. That therefore, so important that everything we receive is to lead us to that relationship. The association of Vaishnavas leads us to that relationship. And only when we come to that relationship is we have the chance to overcome this the conditioning of the material, you know, modes. And in fact, it is explained that it's not only possible, but it actually can be very easy, which is something that is considered extremely difficult to overcome the modes of material nature. Daibi hiesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. Very difficult. Very difficult to the point of actually an impossibility. This word duratyaya means basically impossible to overcome. Material nature is so powerful that the living entity is forced to act under material nature. Krishna says that in chapter 18, when he tells Arjuna that if you decline to follow my instructions, you'll be forced to act by the modes of nature. So Prabhupada explains in the purport that if we don't follow Krishna's instructions, either consciously or unconsciously, if we're not following Krishna's instructions, we're forced to act by the modes of material nature, any combination of them. And so that becomes a possibility. I mean, Krishna also say, when he says that bihesha gunamayima maya dut man what is it? Man evaya prapadyam te. But when one surrenders to me, it becomes easy. Mayan etan taranti te. That surrendering to Krishna is done to the spiritual master. That's the arrangement. So is such an important turning point in the path of anyone, and specifically for the devotee, to come to the position of surrendering to the spiritual master. Is a turning point. Is when now one is fully taken under the shelter of Krishna and under the shelter of pure devotional service. Even though we may be conditioned still by the modes of nature, when one is accepted by a spiritual master and when that relationship is established, then by faithfully doing service to the spiritual master, that service is in the transcendental realm. Why? How is it possible that if I'm still conditioned by the modes of ignorance and passion and render devotional service, that devotional service can still be considered as transcendental? It's a good question, no? And it's a reality. At least I can speak for myself. I'm still conditioned. But when you are rendering faithful and sincere service to the spiritual master, even though it's mixed with the modes of nature, is still is accepted by Krishna as pure devotional service. And the reason is because the spiritual master offers that service to Krishna. And the spiritual master is in that transcendental position. So, therefore, we receive the benefit. We receive the benefit of pure devotional service even when our consciousness is still not pure. We receive the benefit just because of the mercy of the spiritual master, because of that relationship. Because the spiritual master takes you and he offers basically whatever you do to Krishna. That's why when anything we offer, anything we do, we first offer that as a service to the spiritual master. So in deity worship, first you offer to your guru, like that. And then through your guru, then it's offered to the parampara, offered to Krishna. So it's a very wonderful and also a most important relationship, because it's through the spiritual master that will receive the mercy of Krishna. And there's not such a thing of being able to receive and to advance in Krishna consciousness without the mercy of the spiritual master, by pleasing the spiritual master. So Prabhupada calls yasya prasadam bhagavat prasadam yasya aprasadam nagati kutopi. So if we don't please the spiritual master, Krishna is not pleased. Now, the spiritual master is very expert. So how is exactly you're able to, the spiritual master is able to purify the disciple and bring the disciple, elevate the disciple, or elevate the disciple to the mode of goodness. So it's not more influenced by the mode of passion and ignorance. Remember, yesterday I was mentioned that by the mercy of the spiritual master, we raise from the influence of passions and ignorance. So, you know, consciousness goes upwards. In general, being in this material world, especially in this human form of life, is mostly influenced by passion, and passion brings down to ignorance. So the prominent modes that conditions the living entity into material activities are passion and ignorance. The result, the way passion binds you into the world is by fruitive activities. One becomes compelled to act fruitively. And ignorance, the way it binds you is by madness, by delusion. One, in ignorance, you just can't understand anything. Everything is topsy-turvy. It is explained, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, the modes of nature, that someone in passion, he can discriminate what's religion and what is irreligion, what's to be done and what's not to be done. Like that. But in the mode of ignorance, one, there's no confusion. In the mode of ignorance, one takes irreligion for religion and religion for irreligion. One takes, you know, what's not to be done as what is supposed to be done, like that. So it's a complete delusion. In the mode of passion, one just can't discriminate. So it can go this way, it can go that way. It's just like, you know, fruit. That's what you look into. So the mortal passion naturally degrades if it's not directed or under the shelter, under the instructions of Krishna, under Krishna's instructions, then it will degrade to the mode of ignorance. Under Krishna's instructions, under religious principles, it will elevate to the mode of goodness. So therefore, every instructions that we receive are meant to bring us to elevate our consciousness from passion, from ignorance and passion, to the mode of goodness. Because in the mode of goodness is that we can understand. We can actually absorb and understand transcendental subject matters. We can understand, you know, the nature, spiritual nature. We can take that information and be able to act properly on it. So that is the position of the spiritual master. He very expertly, he instructs us, he gave instructions for us to be functioning in the mode of goodness. And at the same time, he engages in pure devotional service, and the combination of those two then elevates the disciple into the position of sattva-guna, the position of pure goodness, or the transcendental position. So, but first we have to come to the mode of goodness. First we have to come. Therefore, the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti for us specifically is meant for that. It's meant to put us in the mode of goodness. So, as devotees, we have to be very vigilant to the influence of modes of passion and ignorance. As long as we have a body, it means that the modes are acting. So they're going to be pushing. As long as we have the body, the art of being a devotee is that you learn to tolerate those impulses and neglect them. I would say better than neglect them is that because you're so occupied with the activities of devotional service, you don't have time for that. So it's a form of neglect, but you know, it's not that you're like sitting all the time like, no, 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 like that. No, you know, that's why when Krishna explained, you know, when Arjuna asked about the sthita pragya devotee, how does he sit? Means, you know, how he's able to control, to tolerate. So it's not that he's sitting, oh, you know, I can have to resist, like that. No. Like Burijan Prabhu explains, you know, and I always remember that, he explains that you're sitting in chanting Hare Krishna and thinking pizza, ice cream, like that. So no, I cannot take that type of thing. So you're renouncing, you know, but you're still meditating and thinking on these things, you know. So no, you're not. It's not like that. It doesn't supposed to be like that. But we have to be vigilant by following the instructions of the spiritual master, Guru Mukha Pat. What is it? Guru Mukha Padma. No. What is it? Guru. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chichete Korija Aikya. That my only wish is to hear the instructions of the spiritual master. Because by the instructions of the spiritual master is that you know, we can actually progress in Krishna consciousness. He opened my dark eyes and filled my heart with transcendental knowledge. From him, ecstatic prema emanates, prema bhakti emanates. By him, ignorance is destroyed. So this is the position of the spiritual master. He facilitates the whole purification that we have. And everything is, he's expert in seeing where we at and how whatever, you know, Prabhupada say, there's no disqualification for pure devotional service. Even if you come in the mode of ignorance, you can still be engaged. Even if you're influenced by the mode of ignorance, you can be engaged. If you follow faithfully the instructions of the spiritual master, you will be elevated to the mode of goodness and eventually to the mode of Satwagun. Sudha Sattva. So we have the case of Mugrari the hunter. He was elevated from being a vicious hunter, very much in the mode of ignorance, to the position of a pure devotee by following the instructions of Narada Muni. So there's no disqualification. So by the instructions of the spiritual master, we can be elevated. So in our position, we have to take those instructions and be very vigilant, because in our beginning stages of Krishna consciousness, we still have the pushes of passion and ignorance. So in general, it's very common that you see devotional service mixed with passion and ignorance. And that's explained also by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. That is explained very nicely, I think, by Lord Kapiladev, the devotional service in the different modes of nature. I didn't have time to research it, but there is a certain way that when devotional service is have some, you know, it's like when you're making some vegetable preparations and you're putting, you just don't follow recipes, you start to throw spices. So, you know, you throw some more of ignorance in it. You know, so we're mixing in our devotional service, we're mixing, you know, some more of ignorance or more of passion like that, because we're conditioned by it. So we have to be very careful on that, very vigilant, because those things are there. And so careful that it have to be like, Srila Prabhupada compares that we have to be like a gardener, and we have to be very careful in following the instructions, because a neophyte gardener, you cannot recognize, you know, the flowering tree from a weed. In fact, you know, the weeds are very clever. You know, they have to be some sort of an intelligence or something, because they sort of look sometimes very similar to the plant, the good plant. And you know, a neophyte gardener have no discrimination. You can be pulling out, my wife was telling, you know, that she planted some nice plants in our previous house, in our house. And then, you know, we have some bunch of gardeners that came to do some maintenance, and they were supposed to clean up, you know, they couldn't distinguish which ones are weed and which, you know, they just pull everything out. So they pull the good plant, they put the bad plant. So the whole thing is bare, you know, it's like a goat just passed through the whole thing, just, you know, destroy everything. So So we have to be an expert gardener, or we have to at least follow very carefully the instructions of the expert gardener. So you know, we know, oh, so this is a good plant, this is a bad plant, and we have to pull out the weeds. So if we not careful about trying to pull out those weeds, then the nature of the weeds is that they're very vicious too. They take up the whole thing and they choke the good plant. The good plant is the plant, the creeper of devotion. And the weeds we have to, they're the product of passion and ignorance. So I was going to read a description of passions. What are the qualities of passion and the qualities of ignorance that are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita? So, you know, we can sort of see them by their qualities, and sometimes, you know, it's a very important study of the Bhagavad Gita, because you can recognize, you know, oh, gee, this is happening, and this is come from passion. This come from ignorance. And also, I was going to read the qualities that we should cultivate, which are also explained in the Bhagavad Gita about the moral goodness. So here's the qualities of passion, and why, you know, it becomes very clearly just by listening to them and by reading them and listening why we should be avoiding these things. Actually, they're not good, you know. So passion, according to the Bhagavad Gita, this is in the Mode of Nature chapter. Passion, great attachment, fruitive activities, intense endeavor, uncontrolled desire and hankering, never satisfied with one position, family attachment, greed, desire for honor, performance of sacrifices to gain respect and honor, and speculative tendencies. So these are qualities of the mode of passion. The mode of ignorance, whimsy. Whimsy means like whimsical, no? Whimsy. Purposelessness, inactivity, madness, foolishness, misery, distress, intoxication, illusion, excessive sleep, degradation, laziness, renunciations of activities meant for spiritual welfare, and the seeking of happiness without considering its effects on one's self-realization. So these are qualities of passion and ignorance. So you can see, you can understand how these are big, big obstacles in making any progress in devotional service. And that's why we have to be so vigilant that these things are taking place, you know, in our daily practices. And so therefore, one devotee we're meant to actually liberate ourselves to the mode of goodness. And one may ask oneself, in fact, that was asked to Srila Prabhupada. Buriyan Prabhu also mentions this, that back in a lecture in 26 Second Avenue, Buriyan Prabhu asked this question to Srila Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, We hear all over the Bhagavad Gita that one should become transcendental to the modes of nature. And then Prabhupada was mentioning that the devotee should be in the mode of goodness. So isn't a devotee supposed to be also transcendental to the mode of goodness? That's what, you know. So Prabhupada explains, yes. However, and generally, the devotee always acts in the mode of goodness. Although you're supposed to transcend the mode of goodness, you act in the mode of goodness. That's what Prabhupada said. That's what I remember reading from Burijan. So he explains, just to try to understand that a little better, this is some of the things that Prabhupada says about that. This is in the purport of 14:15 in the Bhagavad Gita, modes of material nature. Prabhupada say, one should be serious about his human life and take to the mode of goodness and in good association transcend the modes and become situated in Krishna consciousness. That is the aim of human life. So again, one come to the mode of goodness and in good association, meaning association of the spiritual master, the devotees, then one can transcend. But first you have to be there. First we have to elevate to the mode of goodness. Here's something else that Prabhupada says. Let me see here. Yeah, that verse in chapter 2, it was 24, the one that I said. The one that goodness of the modes, goodness is the best, because by the mode of goodness one can come to realize the absolute truth. And the purport Prabhupada explains, as explained above, one can get released from the conditional life of material existence by devotional service to the personality of Godhead. It is further comprehend herein that one has to rise to the platform of the mode of goodness, sattva, so that one can be eligible for the devotional service of the Lord. But if there are no impediments on the progressive path, anyone, even from the platform of tamas, ignorance, can gradually rise to sattva platform by the expert direction of the spiritual master. Thus, by serving Krishna through the spiritual master, the disciple's consciousness gradually become elevated from ignorance to passion to goodness. So that's how the process takes place. So it's not that we follow the mode of, try to cultivate the mode of goodness for the sake of the mode of goodness. It's not to be to, that's the position of smarta brahmanas and that type of thing. That you just want to be in a mode that is that you have a better situation just because of that, just to be in a better position. It is explained also in the 14th chapter, what is, like, remember that I was saying that passion binds you by fruitive activities and ignorance binds you by madness, but goodness binds you by happiness. So one become is nice because you're not too much pushed by all those bad qualities that we read, but rather, you know, is the qualities of goodness, then you have a sense of happiness. And in that sense of happiness, you can become conditioned to think, you know, oh, I'm better, I'm, you know, I'm, I'm in a much better situation than those poor creatures over there is suffering by the mortal passion, like that. So pride, you know, becomes some of the pitfalls. And remember also when Krishna says that if we don't act according to his instructions, then, you know, it's a downward type of progression. So if by birth, you know, I'm influenced by the mode of goodness, then if I act fruitively, then passion is mixed and then you're going downwards, you know. So the purpose of my acting is to enjoy a better situation, that's a fruitive desire. And fruitive desires, you know, becomes karma bandhana. It binds you into more fruitive activities, karma bandhana, and that brings you down to the mode of passion, to the mode of ignorance. So what we're talking here is, regardless of the position that you are, you take shelter of the spiritual master, and the spiritual master will help you to elevate yourself from whatever position you are to the mode of goodness, and then to be able to transcend the mode of goodness itself. So it's progressive. So I'm going to finish by reading the qualities of goodness. So these are things that, you know, are the desirable qualities that we have to cultivate, that are part of, that are the natural result of following and serving the following the instructions and serving the spiritual master. So these automatically, these qualities become manifested, and that's what we have to, you know, cultivate. Qualities of goodness. The performance of the following three austerities when practiced with faith for the sake of the Supreme without expectation of material benefits is called austerity in goodness. Austerity of the body. 1. To worship the worship of the Supreme Lord, worship of the Brahmanas, worship of the spiritual master, worship of the parents, cleanliness, simplicity, non-violence, celibacy. So these are the austerities in goodness of the body. So with our body, we worship the Supreme, we worship the Brahmanas, we worship the spiritual master. There is also mention of worshiping the parents, cleanliness, simplicity, and non-violence, and celibacy. Austerities of speech. Speaking words that are truthful. Speaking words that are pleasing. Speaking words that are beneficial. Speaking words that are not agitating to others. Regularly reciting the Vedic literatures. Austerities of the mind. Satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control, purification of one's existence. One in goodness is Brahminical. He is peaceful, self-control, austere, pure, tolerant, honest, knowledgeable, wise, religious. One in goodness gives charity in this following way. At a given time, so not just any, you know, time, at a given time, to a suitable person, at a worthy place. One in goodness has unbreakable determination, which controls the activities of the mind, controls the activities of life, controls the activities of the senses. One in goodness discriminates between what should and should not be done. One in goodness performed his duty, without false ego, with great determination, with enthusiasm, without wavering in success or failure, only because it ought to be done, without fearing the troublesome effects, and dutifully goes to the temple simply to offer respect to the deities. One in goodness is attracted to foods that increase duration of life, purify the mind, aid bodily strain. One in goodness feels happy because he isn't affected by material miseries, knowing that he's free from material reactions, from that which awakens him to self-realization. One in goodness is free from illusion. One in goodness has knowledge concerning the spirit soul beyond this body. One in goodness is not hateful of that which troubles his body, hateful of inauspicious work, attached to auspicious work. One in goodness has no doubt about work. One in goodness renounces all material association, all attachments to the fruit of his work. One in goodness sacrifices according to the direction of the scripture, as a matter of duty, desiring no reward. One in goodness understands things in the correct perspective. So this is all possible. These things automatically become manifested on the faithful disciple. Faithful and sincere disciple. So, when I say automatically, this is a process. It will happen as long as we remain faithful and committed to the service of the Spiritual Master and following the Spiritual Master instructions. So I stop here. Any comments or questions? Yes, back to Mitch Prabhu.
What happens if one tries to elevate himself to the mode of goodness without following the instructions of the Spiritual Master?
Pride, like that, like I say. I think that has been explained. You know, say the position of Brahminical position of Brahmana. That because of having a motivation, and the motivation is, you know, you want to be free from the miseries of passion and ignorance, and be in a position, a happy, clean position, then when I explain that the binding element is happiness. So if Krishna is not connected, if the Spiritual Master is not connected, then this happiness conditions you. And the result of that condition is pride. And, you know, what is the price? Whoever is pride is the fall is the biggest. What's that say?
Pride cometh before the fall.
Yeah, something like that. But you know, the person who's prideful is, you know, it's a downward situation. So. There's no such a thing. Krishna says those who are not, those who have no faith on him, of the Spiritual Master, or the culture of knowledge, their sacrifices, their austerities, they're all doomed. He explains that, what is it, in the 7th chapter, I think, or 9th chapter, I can't remember. But they're all doomed, he says. For in the 9th chapter, for one who have no faith,
then it's just downwards. So one have to come to the position. Obviously, those who are in the mode of goodness, in general, if they're not affected by this pride, they come into contact with a devotee and immediately they recognize. Because, you know, the mode of goodness allows you to understand. So we have examples of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. You know, he clicked. You know, he could understand. Or Keshava Bharati, when Lord Chaitanya defeated him, he could understand. You know, these were powerful brahmanas, very qualified, proud too. But because of the mode of goodness, they could understand and immediately took shelter of Lord Chaitanya. So we have many, many situations. His Holiness Rana Swami was narrating the pastimes of Gostipurna and Ramanujacharya. You heard, remember? That he was saying, you know, Gostipurna was, you know, the elderly spiritual master. But when he recognized Ramanujacharya's position, you are my guru. Like that, so that's a position of goodness. It's a much better situation anyway. But if you don't, if the proper faith and connection to Guru and Krishna is not there, then and pride takes over, then it's a downward situation. Yeah. All right. Any other question? Krishna Arjuna.
The description that you read of the qualities that go along with the mode of ignorance, and then those qualities that go along with the mode of passion. So if there's elevation from the mode of ignorance to the mode of passion, it's almost taken an entire consciousness that's suffused with madness, laziness, excessive sleep, having the opposite understanding of what is the correct understanding for anything, to a consciousness that's endeavoring excessively now starts to be able to distinguish. So that's a very extreme kind of shift. Mm. So I'm very fascinated how that one kind of consciousness, you know, that's given to all those qualities in the mode of ignorance moves to even the mode of passion, which is seems almost the exact opposite, you know, endeavoring excessively compared to being completely lazy or even having a motivation for fruitive results. I mean, it's suddenly, you know, you're looking at a very motivated person versus a very lazy person. So it seems such a extreme shift, even that, never mind going beyond from passion with intense endeavor to, you know, actually just performing the appropriate things of using the body correctly, using the speech correctly. So it seems dramatic. So I guess even though the statement is made that the process is the elevation from the mode of ignorance to the mode of passion to the mode of goodness and then transcending goodness, perhaps the question would be almost, how is it possible that such a dramatic shift in the modes can take place in one person?
It reminds me of the, you know, the big magician that was one time visiting Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan, and then he was showing the tricks to Srila Prabhupada, you know, some magic trick, and Prabhupada was laughing, you know, and the devotees were, you know, like, sort of like, you know, seemed very fascinating, seeing Srila Prabhupada enjoying the magician act. And then Srila Prabhupada then says, you know, something like, if he can, you know, take some conditioned soul, you know, he can make a hippie into a Vaishnava, you know, that's his magic. That was Srila Prabhupada's magic. So the expertise of the spiritual master is such that, you know, you can see in the case of Srila Prabhupada, when he first came, so many of the devotees came from the hippie era that were completely, you know, addicted to all kinds of substances and things like that, and, you know, pretty much ignorant life. And immediately they're expert in engaging you according to your nature, according to, you know, and then through that engagement, then you become purified, and, you know, you continually elevating yourself. So that's what is important. Say what the important, I think, lesson of this verse is that how necessary for each one of us to take shelter of a spiritual master, to have that shelter in our life. Because it's through the spiritual master that sort of tailor engagement that is just according to your nature will happen. Isn't it like that? So so that's why it's so important. The spiritual master is the representative of the super soul. Super soul have a perfect understanding of yourself. There's nothing hidden. And the spiritual master becomes the via media by which the super soul directs you. So that's why it's so important. And the spiritual master, that's why the instructions of the spiritual master are so important for us. So then the elevation happens. That's the magic. That's where it happens. You know, we see it in our lives, you know, how immediately according to, you know, I mean, if we trace back before of being taken under the shelter of your spiritual master, how your life were and where your mind was. And it's quite dramatic, the change. So that's Guru Krishna's magic, you know, like that. All right, let's stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthara Shriman Bhagavatam ki jai.